Okay, we are on Lamed Vav Amud Beis at the Mishnah, I think. Is that right? Okay. Thank you, Gary, for covering us for today. Okay, so we're at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah. Ve'elu she'ein lehem kenas. Right, so our first Mishnah was Elu Naira she'eish lehem kenas. Right, and now we're talking about the individuals about whom, if a man would be together with that woman, Be'eser, that he would not have to pay a knas if he, you know, if it was a case of ones or mafata, etc., he would not have to pay a knas. So who are the individuals for whom he wouldn't have to pay a knas? Habala giores, vala shvuya, vala shivcha sheniftu vishinizgairu vishinishtacharu. So who are these individuals? So if he has tashmish with, again, with a giores. So a giores is presumably an adult woman who was not Jewish and now converts. A shvuya, a woman who was taken captive, or a woman who was a shivcha, she's like a shivcha kananis, again, she's not Jewish, who, and then any of these people were, or this shivcha was, you know, had been a captive and was redeemed, or she converts, or she becomes freed and now becomes a Jew. But the point is that all these women, and this happens, yiseiros abanos, Shalosham v'yamechad, and that's if she, all these things happen to her after she's already 3 years and 1 day old. So,
one question, the woman who's redeemed or converts, that's referring to the shivcha only.
The shivcha who's niftu nishgairu nishdacharu. Yeah, exactly. Because she's an evi kananis, right? Yeah. She's a non-Jew. She's not Jewish, so now she is. You know, the shvuya is also redeemed. That's also part of it. But yeah, correct.
Giyoris is somebody who converted.
Giyoris was not Jewish and converts. The shvuya, we'll see. Shvuya could be a Jewish woman who gets redeemed. And the shivcha, and then the shivcha, and you know, we put together niftu nishgairu nishgairu. The shvuya is not going to be nishgairu. She's already Jewish. But
right.
But yes. So the point being, these are all women who either were not Jewish, or they're Jewish, but were in situations where it could be assumed that they had tashmish before, right? They'd already been involved in some type of sexual activity, and therefore, what's the assumption? The assumption is that they were not a basula anyway. They're no longer a basula, and if she's no longer a basula, so then when the ones happens, right? They're not the man who does that is not going to have to pay. Why? Because again, he hasn't degraded her status in any way. Because the assumption was already that she was not a basula. So anyone who was going to marry her, you know, before, nothing's changed in her status. I mean, he did something terrible to her, but nothing has changed physically in her body, because it's an assumption that all these women had already been involved in some type of sexual relationship at some point. And why do we care about 3 years in 1 day? Why does 3 years in 1 day matter? So Rashi points out because what typically happens is that. You know, the assumption, the Chazal's assumption always was any woman who had something happen before 3 years old where their basulos, right, the hymen was removed. So if it's before 3 years old, then part of, you know, there's assumption that it would grow back in some way, it would come back, it would regenerate itself. But once she's already past 3 years old, so then if the hymen is removed, so then it remains removed and she remains the status of not being a basula.
Excuse me, I'm sorry,
but yeah.
That shvuya is
captive.
A Jewish woman
who's taken captive. Jews. Correct.
The other way around, right?
Correct. And the assumption is that shvuyos, so we've had this, you know, this concept in general in Chazal, there's an assumption that a woman who was taken captive, right. Not always, not in all cases, but right. There's an assumption that she, if she was taken captive, that she was raped.
I thought it was maybe a Jewish woman
right.
Who was captured.
No, correct.
I thought it was a non-Jewish woman who was captured in the war.
No, so we know. Not, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would be a... You know, Gioris or whatever, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, but yeah, correct.
Okay.
Okay, so all those individuals, ain lehem kanas, right? If any of them, in kanas, and Rashi says, look at where Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, is here, Sabinos Shalashanim, the cave in the Ruyos Labia, Becheskas Hefkerhain, Viniv Alos Benochrios, Vashuyo, Vashuya, Bishuyas, right? All these individuals, right, since they're already 3 years old, so Rashi points out that. Also, more than 3 years old means they're ruyi labia, right? They're like considered they could actually have an act of tashmish could happen with them, and since they are non-Jewish, there's an assumption that there was a, you know, they're not as careful and more involved in this type of behavior. And if it's a shvuya who's Jewish, that women who are shvuyas, women who have been taken captive, typically there's an assumption that they were taken advantage of by the men. Okay, so back in the Mishnah, continues the Mishnah of Yehuda Omer, shvuya shenifteis harehi bikdusha sa'afa pisha gedol. So Rabbi Yehuda holds all the other cases he agrees, except for the case of Shvuya. Shvuya, which is the Jewish woman, right, who was captured and then redeemed. So she remains Bikdushasa. Let's see what Bikdushasa means. But presumably it means that she remains, keeps her status as a Psula, even though she is a Gedola. Right? We're going to see it has ramifications for women who are in Bas Kohen or they're married to a Kohen, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda assumes that a Shvuya we don't have, or I should say Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't make an assumption that just because a woman is a Shvuya, that she necessarily was violated by the men there, and she remains in her original status from before she was captured. Okay. Haba albito, abas bito, abas bino, abas ishto, abas bino, abas bita. So a person who has relations with his daughter, the daughter of his daughter, his granddaughter from his daughter's side, his granddaughter from his son, the daughter of his new wife, right, or the daughter of his wife's son, or the daughter of his wife's daughter. So it's his daughter or his granddaughter from, you know, or even his like step granddaughters. So any of the men with any of those women, what happens? Ein lehem kanas. None of those cases does the man pay a kanas. Why? Nothing to do with her. Mipnei she mischayev benafsho. Right, because in those cases, right, the man who is ma'anis those women, so he's chai misa for doing what he does. Right, and that's because, as we've been talking about already for a while, any person is chai misa, so they're not going to have to pay. Shenemar v'im lo yeh ason, ano shi'enesh. The pasuk says that right, in a scenario where there is an ason, so then you're going to get punished. Rashi says v'lo yeh ason, ano shi'enesh. Ha im yeh ason, lo yeh anesh. Right, it's only when there's no ason, when you're not getting punished in a different way, then ano shi'enesh, you get punished for. In that case is that the person who he hits doesn't die, so then he has to pay. The point being, if the person does die and he's chayav misa, so then we no longer say anosh yanesh. Anosh yanesh implies paying, so he doesn't have to pay any money. So we've had conversations in these cases happen to be capital punishment cases, exactly. But yeah, we've had conversations in the past about. Whether it's only Misa, whether it's only Bet, whether it's only Kares, etc. But at this point, this opinion in our Mishnah is the assumption that anyone who's Chai Benafsho, right, you don't Chai Misa in Mesa Mishalim, as we've kind of talked about before. Okay, fine. So these are all the different categories of people who do not pay a fine. Says the Gemara as follows. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dosa, Amru Davar Echad. So Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a shvuya, right? Harehi bikdushasa, right? That the shvuya maintains her status as being, a basula. So he's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing as Rabbi Dosa. Okay, what do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda hadamar. Rabbi Yehuda explained already. That's what we read from our Mishnah. A shvuya shenifteis harehi bikdushasa. Okay, so that's how he says what he says. Rabbi Dosa, the Sanya, and Rabbi Dosa said the following. It says in Abraisa, Shavuya ochelas betruma, divri Rabbi Dosa. Right? So Rabbi Dosa is of the opinion that a woman who is a Shavuya, and then she comes home, she was captured, and then she comes back. Rashi points out, Shavuya is, we're talking about Bas Kohen. And a Bas Kohen eats truma from her father's house, right? And now she was kidnapped, and she comes back. So Rabbi Dosa says, in that case, she continues to eat truma from her father's house. Why? Rabbi Dosa, and why? Is that Amr Rabbi Dosa? B'chima asala aravi halaz. Anyways, what did this Arab man do to her anyways? Because he's saying because she fooled around with her, meaning he did inappropriate things with her, but he didn't actually have the act of sexual intercourse, right? He did other things, but he says what? Because he was inappropriate with her and did, you know, they did all kinds of things, but they didn't. But what he did didn't actually have intercourse. So because of that, she's going to be passed from the kuna. No, that's ridiculous, right? That doesn't pass to her, right? But his point being, the assumption that that's not, that they would not have done that. Right, Rashi says, right? They didn't. Even with these individuals who were kidnapping women, we assume that they only went so far. Fine. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Dosa says, that women, a woman who's a shvuya, she's allowed to continue to eat truma. So the point is that what Rabbi Yochanan wants to say is that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa seem to be of the same opinion, because they both argue that a woman who becomes a shvuya, we don't assume that they had tashrish with her, right? So that's why at this point we're saying they said the same thing. Okay, so it's changed to Rava here. Amar Rava, Dilma Lohi. Maybe that's so. Rava says, well, maybe that's not true. Rather, I mean, that's not why they're saying the same thing. Ad kan lo kamar, meaning maybe they're not really the same. I mean, you just said Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa said the same thing, and they both hold that a shvuya retains her status, right? Rabbi Yehuda says it when it comes to if she's a shvuya niftes, she keeps her kedusha, right? And presumably, by the way, that's why. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, the man who's with her afterwards, if he's me'anes her, is going to have to pay a knas, right? Because she maintains her status of having psulim. But Rabbi Dosa is saying something else. And yes, Rabbi Dosa is saying that she can keep eating chuma, but maybe that's not exactly the same point, right? We're assuming it's all emanating from the same approach. Maybe it's not. Okay, and he's going to explain why. Amarava Dumalohi, maybe this comparison between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa is not exactly the same. Not exactly correct. Adkan lokam Rabbi Yehuda hacha ela shalo yechot aniskar. Why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the woman in this case, when she was a shvuya, and then she was redeemed, and then a man was ma'anes her, she had a lot of bad things in her life as a woman, and then the person's ma'anes her, and in that case, he doesn't pay. Why is that? That's not because he really holds that a woman who is a shvuya, we assume nothing happened to her. Not necessarily, but rather, when it comes to the guy who's ma'anes her afterwards, we don't want him to get off scot-free, meaning he's not going to have to pay, right? So we don't want to be, the language chote niskar is not exactly as specific. Usually chote niskar, it's a guy that's going to sin and then get rewarded. So he's not getting rewarded here, but he is not having to pay at least. He's chote and not having to pay anything, right? So he gets off from not having, and not, doesn't have to pay. So maybe Yehuda says in that case that she's biktushasa, right? She's biktushasa, you know, she stays in her status, meaning in terms of the question of whether the man who's ma'anis her has to pay, right? But that's why avahasam kirabanan sirile, right? But maybe in the case of the woman who's a shvuya and she comes back and eating truma, no, maybe in that case he agrees with the rabbanon, right? Because there he's just make y'all in the sense that he wants to do it as a chumra. It's not really cool. It's a chumra to be machmir on the man who was ma'anis her. And inami, or maybe you could say the other direction. I can look on Rabbi Dosa, right? Only Rabbi Dosa says she maintains her status. That was hasam, right? Elav truma derabanan. That's why is that? That's because it's the case of truma derabanan, right? So the whole thing, truma, the case of truma derabanan is only derabanan in the first place, right? And therefore, in this Rashi points out in this scenario where it's like a suffix, whether or not she can eat truma anymore. Well, there's another suffix, which is what the suffix is: was she actually violated when she was a shuir or not? Right, so maybe since we don't know if she was violated or not, and we just—it's a suffix. Well, suffix derabanan lakula, and that's why Rabbi Dosa is make when it comes to truma. Aval knas daraisa kerabanan sirulei. Right, but in the situation where the man is ma'anes this woman, right, and the question is, does he have to pay a fine or not? He'd say absolutely he does. Right, why? Because that's based off of daraisa. Right, paying the knas is a requirement of daraisa. So maybe that's what's going on here. Meaning the point is, don't make an assumption that Rabbi Dosa and Rabbi Yehuda are lining up perfectly and they would agree in all cases, because they really agree fundamentally that we believe that if the woman came back from being a shvuya, we assume that she's not that she maintains her status as a bezula. Not necessarily. Maybe it depends on the cases they're talking about. Actually, maybe Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are, you know, totally disagree, or who knows what. There's multiple variations of what they can be saying, what they're saying, and that's not assume from these two statements that they're on the same train and they totally agree with each other. So that's what Rava says. So Amalei Abaye. So Abaye now responds back. V'taimei de Rabbi Yehuda hacha shlei achote niskar. Who? Really? Right? By the way, that's my, this might be really the reason why the Gemara changed, why some changed the Rabba to Rava, because who typically argues with Abaye? Rava, not Rava. Right? So that's why it's Abaye here, that's why the person above was Rava, not Rabba. But anyways. So Abaye says back to Rava, v'taimei de Rabbi Yehuda hacha shlei achote niskar. Right? Really? You assume that the reason that Rabbi Yehuda is machmir, is meiko, whatever you want to call it, assumes that she maintains her status as a psula is just only because he's nervous or he wants to make sure that the person who's manis her doesn't get off scot-free and he still has to pay? Maybe not, v'hatanya, right? But we have another price that says, Rabbi Yehuda says, shvuya shenishbeis, a shvuya, a woman who is captured and taken captive, harehi bikdushasa, right? She maintains her status, right, as a presumably not as a psula. Why? Afilu bas eser shanim ksubasa masayim. Even if she was 10 years old, right? She her ksuba remains 200, right? So ksuba being 200, right, means what? Again, means that she's a psula, right? So this is another example of an application of her status being that she's a psula. That she gets a ksuba of 200. V'hasam ma'ishlei chotei niskarika. And if it's a question of her ksuba remaining a certain value, the value of 200 shekel kesef, so then what does that have to do with chotei niskar? Nothing, right? So if the only reason he was being assuming that her status is maintained is shaloyei chotei niskar, so that would mean it would only apply in the case where she is someone's ma'anis her and she. And he's expected to pay. And that's not this case. This case is just a question of what the value for Kasuba is. So it must be, it's more across the board that he holds that she maintains her status. So one of the defining features of a woman who is either a basula or not a basula, yeah, is when she gets married and she has a Kasuba, how much does she get in the Kasuba? If she's a basula, she gets 200. If she's not a basula, she gets 100. Okay. Right? Yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda says that a woman who is a shvuya, our question was this. We said, oh, Rabbi Yehuda holds, right, that a shvuya who gets redeemed, so she maintains her status, right? And we said, okay, means he assumes she's a basula. She just maintains her status. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Rava brought up was, well, maybe not. Maybe he just said that in terms of the man who rapes her. The man who rapes her having to pay a fine. Right? If she was originally a basula, then he still has to pay a fine. If not, then not. So maybe he just said, look, I don't know if she's a basula or not. But in terms of the guy paying the fine, that we're going to say, we assume she's a basula. Why? Because you don't want a guy to do something terrible like this and not have to pay. Right? That's what Rava had said. And that's the only reason. Meaning, otherwise, maybe Rabbi Yehuda really believes she's not a basula. She's maybe not a basula. Okay. But for this specific case of the guy who's ma'anis her, we say, no, let's assume she's a basula. Why? So he has to pay. Okay. There's something terrible. Right? So now, bias is back. That's not necessarily true. Because in another case, Rabbi Yehuda says, if a woman was a shvuya, and she comes back, and you go to her wedding, what's the amount of the ksuba? 200. That's not because of some guy who chalila raped her. This is just her regular status, right? Getting married. And there's no case of someone who's going to, like, get away with something because of this. This is just talking about what her regular status is to get married.
So she's a basula, even though she was a shvuya.
That's what he seems to say, right? And that seems to be more global, her status in general, not just the specific case of onus. Exactly. Yeah. Good. I'm glad you asked. It's always true. If someone has a question, someone else probably has the same question. Okay, fine. So this my shloye chote diskariko. This is not the case of being worried that someone who violates her is going to get away with something. So answer the Gemara, no. Hasam nami dilma mimane velo naspila. He says no. I'll tell you why in this case you also don't have a proof. It's not necessarily global. I'll tell you why in this specific case there'd be a reason to treat her like a pasula. Why is that? Because it's a concern that no one's going to want to marry her, right? So Rashi says Dilma mimanev lo naspila I pichdeis ksubasa. Right? If you're going to make her ksuba worth less, mashvis la becheskas beula umirachi la afil Yisrael. If you're going to tell me that her ksuba is only going to be 100, what's going to happen? The guys, the potential suitors are going to step away from her. They won't be interested in her, right? So maybe the reason Rabbi Yehuda in this case allows her to get 200 zuz is it because he assumes for sure that she's a basula? It's just that he knows that if we start giving her the status of a ba'ula and we make her only get 100 zuz in her ksuba, then a lot of men are going to not want to marry her. A Yisrael. Maybe she can't marry a Kohen, right? But even the Yisrael's going to want to marry her. They're not going to want that. So therefore, you know, not so fast to argue that this is a global rule of Rabbi Yehuda, but rather that there's just another exception, just a second exception. So the first exception was the situation where she's going to get, you know, when she's going to otherwise, what? Chotein Yiskar. And that, right, that the guy's not going to have to pay. And this is, as a Rachmanas on her, that she should be able to get married.
It's a different reason. It's not Chotein Yiskar.
Right, but the point, again, the point being, what do you see is that the Havamina was, see, Rabbi Yehuda holds it all the time. And it's just, no, there's another exception. As long as it's an exception, so then it's not a proof that he holds it all the time. That's the point. Okay. Okay.
But the reason is not Chotein
Yiskar. Yeah, it's just a different reason.
Right.
Right, but the point is, again, but the question is it his global, because she remains her status totally all the time, or is there some specific reason in this specific case to change her, to maintain the status? The answer is now we have two examples. But since we have two examples of specific reasons, that's why we can say he doesn't necessarily hold that she's always Bikdusha Sakaima. Right? And then the Gemara is going to continue. Bisari Rehuda Bikdusha Sakaima. Right? Well, let's try again. Right? Really, you want to hold that he holds Bikdusha Sakaima. Vatanya HaPodes HaShvuya Yisa'ena. Okay, the Brisa says, a man who redeems a Shvuya. He's the one who goes in. And he's like Shimon and Levi, you know, and he goes in and redeems her. He takes her out of captivity. Yisena, he can marry her. Meidba lo yisena. But if he's the one who gives the testimony that she was not violated by the captors, so then he can't marry her. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bengach u Bengach lo yisena. Yehuda says, in either case, he can't marry her. Well, in either case, he can't marry her. If Rabbi Yehuda's saying, in any case, he can't marry her, what does that mean? That means Yehuda believes that something happened to her, right? Something happened to her. I guess the guy's a Kohen, right? But the point is that he can't. He sounds like he can't marry her. So that seems to be a problem for Rabbi Yehuda. A problem for those of us who want to argue that Rabbi Yehuda holds that she's always, you know, Bikdusha Sakaima.
Who saved and redeemed the girl?
Gemara's bothered by the whole case.
Okay.
Right. So watch what the Gemara says. Gemara says Hagufa Kasha. Right, this whole thing is, you know, is a problem. And yes, the point is that it's a Kohen. That's for sure. Everyone agrees it's a Kohen. We're talking about a Kohen. Rashi points it out.
That's the guy redeemed and saved her. He's a Kohen.
Well, that's the question to be who is doing that job. But yet, it's got to be a Kohen. If it's not a Kohen, a Jew can marry her.
Right.
It's got to be a Kohen. It's a question about Hakufa Kasha. But the whole thing bothers us. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Amris HaPodes HaShvuya Yisena. You just said if he goes ahead and he redeems her, he can marry her. And then he said, well, if the person gave testimony about her, you can't get married to her? Just because he gave the testimony, he can't marry her? No. Halo kasha. This is what it means. The guy did the redeeming and the testimony. So fine. He was captured with her, let's just say, right? They were all captured together. And he's the one who saves her. And he can say, by the way, I was there the whole time and nothing happened to her. So then he can marry her, right? But made by Kadi, but if all he did was give the testimony, lo yisena. But if he just gave testimony that she wasn't violated, he can't marry her. Why is that? So Rashi points out, we're going to see others going to talk about it. Why? Because if he just gives the testimony, he happens to be the one who testified that she's totally fine, and then he marries her. What's the possibility? He was interested in her. And that's why he gave the testimony, right? So that raises questions there. So that's the reason why, that's the reason for this distinction. The Gemara says, "But mikol makom kasha Rabbi Yehuda." But still, we have a problem. Still, we have a kasha Rabbi Yehuda on this approach of Rabbi Yehuda. That again, that he thinks that she's totally that until now we said that he holds bikdushasa. She maintains her status. That's so hard because here he's still arguing that there should be scenarios where the Cohen's not allowed to marry her. I thought she maintains her status as a basula. So I'm Rav Papa. So Rav Papa, I'll tell you what. Emer Rabbi Yehuda Omer Benkach Ubenkach Yisaena. Rav Papa says the easy answer. Change the text. Rabbi Yehuda really said, no, you can always marry her. That's what he said. Why could Rabbi Yehuda hold? She maintains her status. So he just said, Ben Kach Ben Kach Yisena. So Rav Huna Bridger, Yeshua Omer, no, La Olam Kitani. No. Let it maintain. That's not what he said. He said, Ben Kach Ben Kach Lo Yisena. But what happens? So rather, Rabbi Yehuda, Ledivrayim Derabanan Kamar Lehu. Right? So really, what Rabbi Huda is doing, he's not telling you his opinion. He's telling you what the Rabbanan's opinion is. Right? Right? L'didi, and this is what he means. L'didi, b'engach b'engach yisena. I would say she can get married anyway. She maintains her status. But l'didichu, according to you, the Rabbanan, b'engach b'engach lo yisena. Right? You guys, according to you guys, she should never be allowing her to get married, that this guy to marry her in either case, right? Because in either case, either she is a shuwish and iftes, in which case you assume that she, once she's a shuwish and iftes, you assume she was violated, in which case the Kohen should not be allowed to marry her at all. Fine. So we'll stop here, and we'll pick up next week on all of the bottom page.